Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5. Again, verses 1 through 13. I did add a verse since last week. Amen. We kind of covered half of this, the first part of this last week. And we'll pray to God that we can finish it today. We'll do a quick review of what we hit last week, quick as we can, and then we'll get on to the new material. Turn to those of you that are new to the Beth, you can look on the back of your outline and you'll see the scripture from today coming from the New American Standard Bible. If you're reading another version, especially if you're reading the King James or the New King James, there's going to be a difference when we get to verse 7, so I'm hoping you'll read with us on the back of your program. Let's get into God's Word. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. And we receive the testimony of man. The testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that ye may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. The faith of an overcomer. Part two. I'm going to want to complete this today. But quickly, we just want to go back through it. Amen. Could you turn me up a little bit, Sister, on one of these on the lap if you can? Until I kind of get the more little horse, until I probably, that sounds better. Thank you so much. Hopefully, we won't have no interference. All right, now we realize last week we want to say some things about this faith as we go along. Number one, I'm reviewing the first 4 points, then we're going to the last 3 points. Number one, the faith of an overcomer is a faith that believes the truth, and truth should be in bold color, amen, in the bold text there. It's the faith that believes the truth about Christ, especially that truth concerning his person and his word. And when we're specifically talking about persons, that means the truth that we know about Christ's person is that he is both fully God and fully man or human. Come on, y'all, listen, y'all. Come on out a little bit. All right, help me out. It's interacting. You know, I'm interacting. So he's fully God and fully
man.
All right, thank you. Appreciate your help. All right, so and that's what's called the hypostatic union. It's two natures. He's God and he's man. It's not a mixture of God and man. But he's fully God and fully man. Now that's because he's God. Don't try. We got to accept what the Word of God says. Don't try to completely and totally understand it. Because if you could understand God completely, he wouldn't be God.
Amen.
All right. So there's a thing about God, we have to go by what the Word of God says. The Word of God says he's fully man and fully deity of God. He's both. Those two natures combined together is what his God is not, his deity is not diminished, and his humanity is not diminished. That's what we believe about God. All right, I covered it a little bit more, but that's what we call hypostatic union. You need to lift that up. Lift that hypostatic union up. Y'all have got to do it and give some more information. I don't have to go through all these things deep issues because I'm going to y'all to Google it up.
Amen.
All right, number two. Not only is the faith of an overcomer a faith that believes the truth about Christ, but it's a faith that loves our brothers and sisters. Because when you put your faith in Christ, we said on last time, we receive God's life in us. And when we receive God's life, we also receive God's love. He puts his love in our hearts. When he puts his love in our hearts, we're able to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because he loves his children. And that's the same love he put in our hearts. So when we know his love is in our hearts, we can love him. But we can also love our brothers and sisters, and even beyond that, we can love our neighbors. Third, it's a faith, that faith of an overcomer is a faith that is joyfully obedient. It's joyfully obedient to Christ's commands. I'm talking about this a little bit. Can't go to as much as I did, but you remember when I talked about this last week, I kind of gave an example so that all of us would have seen the Overcomer movie. We kind of understood it. Amen. I gave that example that as Hannah, one of the characters in the movie, amen, there was a portion of the movie where she was listening to the voice of one that loved her. And as she was listening to the voice, as she was obediently, and I think also we can say joyfully, listening to the voice, because anytime you listen to a voice of one in love, you got some joy in it. As she was listening obediently and joyfully to the one that loved her, it enabled her to finish her task of her race, amen, even though the race had some difficult points in it. There were some points, amen, when her body did not want to continue to run. There was a point when she had to go uphill and valleys and surrounds of curves. And out of all the difficulty that was involved, it wasn't burdensome because she had the joy of listening to the voice of the one that loved. And I told the same way it is with us Christians. When we listen to the Bible's teaching, knowing that there's a God that loves us with an amazing
one of them.
Yes.
When you listen to the Bible, knowing that it's a God that loved you with an amazing love, a love that's so infinite and just beyond us to ever comprehend.
Isn't it? So when this is born, we know the words are coming from a place of love. And he has our greatest good in mind. And you don't mind listening to somebody who's got the greatest good in mind.
Yeah.
Because see, and I told you it changes the whole way we look at Scripture. People who don't know God, who don't know His love, who can't understand His love. When they look at the Scripture like, He's trying to keep me from having fun in your life. When they need to teach. That's not it, because He's coming from a place of love. He wants you to enjoy life to its fullness. That's why He says, don't jump off the cliff. When you look at most of God's commandments, He said, the things He tells us to do is the things that will allow us to enjoy and have life to its fullness, abundant, and just full of adventure and joy. Yeah, there won't be some tough places. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some challenges. But even amidst the pain and tough places and the challenges, you still have joy. The thing He's trying to keep us from is the thing that can incarcerate our spirits and make our lives smaller and enslave us and keep us from being the people that God created us to be. Because sin keeps you from being who God created you to be. And when it keeps you from being who God created you to be, you can never experience the satisfaction that God wanted you to experience. Can't experience the joy in the fullness that you were created for, because sin becomes a burden. So He said, hey, I want to give you abundant life. So follow my teachings. Trust me, know I love you. And because I love you, everything, word that comes from me is about love. Because I want you to have abundant life. And what I'm trying to keep you from, because I know I want you to have abundant life, but there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He want to do everything he can to mess your life up. So when you see a commandment that says, thou shalt not, or don't do this, I'm trying to keep you from that. It's all from love. That's why you got to live. That's what it is. That's not our thing for this series, living love. When you live love, you live it knowing how you're loved by and valued by God. But now look back at 1, 2, 3 quickly. Those things, look at the bold word. Truth, love, and obedience. Sometimes you might call it righteousness. But truth, love, and obedience are John's, those are the three things. They're like it's like in a circle. He comes back to them over and over again. Because those are the three things that he wants you to understand in this letter that he writes, this epistle. He wants you to understand, that when you have the intimate fellowship with me, when you've been saved, and you've got a relationship and fellowship, you will always have those three things abundant in your life. Love, obedience, and truth. Truth means the right learning, right loving, and obedience, right living. Right loving, right learning, right living. And you will always be in that cycle when you have a relationship with Him and fellowship with Him. Also, if you look at it, and when we're talking about truth, truth is that thing that they kept you to our intellect when you believe. But it's not a belief that stays with the mind. It's a belief that goes to the heart. Yeah. And when that belief travels from the mind to the heart, He comes down in love.
Yes.
Y'all see that?
Yes,
look at the bold word. Truth, amen, leads to love. So when we know the truth with our mind, we have right learning, it leads to right loving. And when you got right learning, right loving, then you come out in obedience, and obedience is right living. So it starts in the mind, goes to the heart, and then comes out in the will. Starts with the cognitive, then goes to the emotive, and then comes out as a volition, a will. So mind, heart, will. What you know, what you feel, and then what you do. So when you have an overcoming faith, it affects the whole of you. The whole of you. It's just not something you know. It's something that impacts the whole. It just changes the trajectory of your life.
Yes.
And then we said, this kind of faith will overcome the world. You got the verse on the 1 John 2:16. That's just saying the word consists of the lust of the flesh. That means physical desires and cravings. Lust of the eye, the desire for more. And the pride of life, the desire for attention, for accomplishments or acquisitions. Those are the things. Remember the world. When we talk about the world, we're talking about all those that are under the influence of Satan. They're under the influence of the enemy. When you're under the influence of the enemy, this is what he would say. He tries to trap you by saying, hey, if you fulfill these physical desires and cravings of yours, your life will be satisfied. Number two, he says, if you can get enough, because you ain't got enough now, you want more. If you can get more and keep getting more and keep getting more, one day you'll be satisfied. Or then he'll try the third one, which I call, not only do I call it, it's the pride of life, but the lust of the eye. Because you want to be attention for your accomplishments and your acquisition. You want attention because of stuff you do or something you have. And if you get that attention, he says, it'll satisfy you. If you fall in that trap, you say, oh, I want to get attention for what I have. So what happens? You get in a debt trap. Because you go out and get stuff you can't pay for.
you get
trapped. Or you get in, if it was about accomplishments, amen, about climbing the corporate ladder or some kind of achievement, you become workaholic on those accomplishments. You put so much effort in achieving in those accomplishments, then you say, I thought it was you want people to look at me. You say that because the enemy told you that's going to satisfy. He's going to say, hey, if you get more stuff, it's going to satisfy. If you just take care of it, all these things will satisfy. Because he knows we are made for God. And until we find God, there's a hole in our soul that needs satisfaction. And we try all these other ways.
Okay.
The world says you can find. That's why you see people who made it. It's people who've done all this.
Right.
And then they still in it. That's why we see people say, I can't understand why that person there is on drugs. Or I can't understand why that person there is committing suicide. They got it all.
Yeah.
The worst thing you could do is to succeed at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You can succeed at the wrong thing. Talk about climbing the corporate ladder. You climb the ladder that you think is going to be fulfilling you, then you find out that the ladder leaning against the wrong house. And you'd have spent your whole life climbing that ladder. you'd have succeeded at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But then what the world says. That's what the world says. And the world is there. I told you, this is important. I told you a while ago that when we have faith of overcoming so much of the mind goes to the heart, comes out of the wheel. Well, you know, the world has been thrown by the evil one, the enemy. He has kind of a plan too. And I kind of see it in today's society is that how he attacks us, how he attacks the truth of God. He attacks the truth of God, number one. And I told you about going so quickly through academia.
Right.
So when you go to school, when you go to college, when you go to some academic environment, they kind of dismiss and diminish God.
Right.
If you're a believer, basically they say, hey. Everybody out there believe, but if you still believe that in 2019, you're ignorant and backwards. People don't believe that stuff no more. Amen. Now, if you believe what we're teaching, amen. If you believe what we're teaching, then you're intelligent. You're up to date. But that stuff you talking about, that stuff's archaic. Nobody don't believe that no more.
Yeah.
That's how to get to your mind. And then they try to get to y'all. I say, academia is how the enemy attacks your mind. Now, we need academia because academia is where we go to train to fulfill God's purpose for our life. But when you go into academia, you need to go in with truth. So you can get what you need. Without them getting you.
Yes.
Amen. So you got a filter on me. You got to have a filter. Amen. When you go to academia. But not only do they try to get your mind, but just like our faith affects our heart, they try to get our heart. Now they try to get our mind with academia, then they try to get our hearts with arts.
Amen.
Yeah. Art, because art goes past the mind. Art is for the emotion. That's why sometimes you're really not in art. You look at a picture, you know, a painting, and you say, and they say that painting is worth thousands of dollars. You kind of feeling what? I wouldn't give $5 for this thing. Because you're trying to see something. But it's not made for you to see something, it's made to have you feel something. A thing to get you to feel. So with music, it gets you to feel a certain way. So a lot of times, movies, and they get you to feel a certain way. So he works around his mind after he told you what you believe is okay, old fashioned, ignorant, people don't believe that anymore. Then he comes to your heart, and what he does, he'll show you a picture of a person. Amen. A postmodern thinker who says, hey, let me give you an example before I get me give you this again. It's very difficult in our society for Christianity because of the LGBTQ plus agenda. I don't know what the plus is for. That's, you know, what it is. So what happens? People who support and promote the LGBTQ plus agenda, it is unbiblical, but the Bible says it's sin.
Right.
So you got these two things. If you're going to believe in the Bible, the agenda can't be true.
Right.
If you're going to believe in the agenda, the Bible can't be true.
Right.
Now, most people in our world believe in, they're not believers, and even some believers, they believe in the LGBTQ agenda. So they got, in order to make it work and feel good about it, you got to make the Bible not be true. You got to make the Bible be archaic, old fashioned.
Right.
It's something you can't depend on. Because if you make the Bible true, then the agenda has problems. Now, let's take it to the ark. Take it to the ark. So I told you, you've got to get to your heart through the arks. So what he'll do, remove his things you look at. He'll make the person that supports the LGBTQ plus agenda a hero. There'll always be heroes. There'll always be the one that saves the day. There'll always be the one you feel a compassionate connection with. And then you'll see the person of faith, and they'll be the person of harmful. You watch what I'm saying. They'll be the one that's harmful. They're the one that's causing harm. So your heart gets to believe that people of faith cause harm. People with the other agenda are here. That's enough. So they got your mind. And then, how do they get your will? They already kind of got in the mind and in the heart. But get your will, because everybody I know, all of us want to feel accepted.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Everybody want to feel accepted. Everybody want to be, you know, be loved and go along with the group, especially when you're young. Sometimes you get older, you just don't even, you know. You see it kind of clear, but not as much as when you was young. Amen. Not as much as when he was young. That's why, amen, when, you know, when people get old, they don't even care how they dress. They want to get all kinds of clothes. Especially if they got money. If you got money, you don't care what nobody cares about. You already got your money anyway. But look here. So what it is a set. Because nobody want to feel rejected. Nobody wants to say, we don't want you to be part of our crowd. We don't want you to be part of our group. Nobody don't want to be a person that's never invited to anything. Don't get to go to party. Don't get to hang out with nobody because you're a reject. Nobody want to feel like a reject. So, amen, the world says if you want to be accepted, you need to go along with the crowd. You need to go along with the popular opinion. You need to go along with where everybody else, most of the people are thinking. You need to think like most of the people. But the Bible says, wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many folks, that whole lot of road on the road, but that little narrow. Oh, that little narrow gate, and only a few folks. You don't want to be with the crowd. You can't, amen. I know if I put a crowd going in the wrong direction, and they want to be accepted, they'll join the crowd. Way that leads to destruction.
Yeah.
The few, you need to be with the few.
Yeah.
I know I need to be crying, but the crowd's got to be right. You don't follow, as a believer, you don't follow the crowd.
Yeah.
You get a crowd, some to follow. You don't follow the trend, you set the trend. Because you're going to be rejected. Jesus said they hated me. And if they hated me, and you like me, they're going to hate you. But I can deal with their hate because I got his love. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I can deal with the haters because I know the love of mine. His love is more powerful than all their hate. What a God. So you see, just like God, when we have faith in him, he makes our mind and heart and our will to make it what we need. The enemy wants that too. He has a grand design on the academics, the arts, and acceptance to lead them the wrong way. But it says, because of our faith, we overcome. Overcome me, we done took the world off the throne. I don't look to satisfaction. Where I get my satisfaction, where I get my fullness, where I get that thing that makes me feel like it was quit is almost like heaven on earth. When I'm experiencing the joy of an intimate fellowship with God. Jesus. See, you can do that. Two ways to do that now. You can do that like when you have your long time with God, spending time with God, talking to Him. That's one way to do it. That's one way to do it. And you ought to do it that way. But there's a second way. But I don't want y'all to miss this way. Depending on what your gifting is, the second way you feel that intimate and that fellowship with God is when you are walking in your purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. In a word, I'm going to use book favorite. I always use it as a negative example. I'll use it for a positive example.
Amen.
But favorite said probably feel the intimate, the joy of an intimate fellowship with God when He's more than y'all.
Alright.
See, y'all don't like that. That's not the way I feel. Because when He's doing things with God, when He's more than y'all, or cooking like He was cooking yesterday,
right,
when
right.
He's serving, right. Because that's the spiritual gift, is when the spirit gift is serving Him, is when He does that, He can feel God's pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do when I'm up here teaching y'all. So whatever He's giving you, when you're in that, when you operate in that gift, is one way you feel that intimate fellowship with God. Maxine doesn't follow what you know. She's playing. So whatever the Spirit is giving you, Jerry probably feels when she counts in somebody. Because whatever your gifting is, some of y'all that teach, when you're teaching the class, when you feel it.
Yeah.
So you feel it when you're operating in your purpose, and you feel it when you're alone having fellowship.
Yeah.
That's what fills us.
Amen.
That's what fills us. That's what fills us. Okay, let me get on now. All right. Let's get to point five. It's a faith based upon reliable testimony. This is the part where it gets kind of a little bit difficult to understand. Six. Look at verse 6 on you if you want to convey. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water with the blood. It is the Spirit testified because the Spirit is the truth. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, this water and blood? Now there's four theories about this. I'm going to give you one that I feel good because I don't have time to go on four theories. And then the one that most theologians, most scholars kind of lean toward because it makes the most, it fits this passage the most. And it's literary. When it's written. The water is Christ's baptism. The blood is his crucifixion. And the Spirit, we know the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So three witnesses. Testimonies. When you see the word testimony, might be witnesses in some of your Bible, testimonies in the other one's Bible. It comes from the Greek word, but remember, the New Testament wrote in what? All right, the New Testament wrote in
Greek.
All right, now y'all be ready for this test next week. I probably ain't missing this week. All right, so now the Greek word is martyrs, where we get our word martyr from. A martyr is a person who's going and sharing with Christ about people, and they get killed because of their testimony. Okay? And martyrs means somebody who's like on a witness stand. But it's not only just being on the witness stand. I mean, it's not like you witness something. Say like you witness a car wreck. It's more than just witnessing it. It's being willing to tell others what you witness. That's what a martyr means. So, in study the Bible, look for a term that's repeated, and then you'll know that's what he's trying to help you with. All right, let's look at quickly. Look at verse 6. Yeah, this is 6. This is one that came by water and blood of Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and blood. In the Spirit, who? Because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that? The Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three there, three are in agreement. If we receive the? Amen. The? For the? Of God is this. That he has? Concerning his Son, the one who believes in the Son of God has the? In himself, the one who does not believe in God has made him a liar. Because he does not believe in the? That God has given concerning his Son. And the? It is that God has given us eternal life, and life is in his Son. So you see how much testimony is used? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think about 8 times. So that's what he's trying to get us. So now what you got to imagine is these three people give testimony, three entities give testimony. Number one, the water, which is the? The blood, which is the? And the Spirit, which is the Holy One. All right, so here you come. Here come water to the witness stand. Water come up to the witness stand. And they said, water, what you think about this Jesus? And baptism, and water baptism. And he said, well, when he got baptized, I remember that a dove, something like the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then I heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what I heard. So that's water testimony. And he heard from heaven of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. That's my testimony. Oh, you can sit down. You can sit down. Who's next? Blood? Yeah, I'm up. How was it? Blood, what did you see? It was at the crucifixion. Let me tell you, whoop, it was something. What I saw. Jesus was hung up, bleeding, crown with thorns, blood streaming down.
Yes, sir.
Flesh torn from his body, stripped naked. He was hung there on the cross.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing. He was out there, so on. But around about noon, everything was dark.
Yeah.
Come on.
Everything went dark from about noon to about 3.
Yeah.
Darkness filled a whole place. It was like God was saying, what sin is for. It's like God was giving us a testimony through nature.
Yeah.
As his Son was dying, everything turned dark.
Yeah.
Man. Still made a temple. The curtain. The veil that gift was torn.
Yeah.
It had never been torn before.
Yeah.
Which made him an access to God. Strangest, most amazing thing we've ever seen.
Yeah.
hold in my heart. And I was just about to say it. But then one of the soldiers said, surely this must be the Son of God.
Yeah.
They beat me to it. Sorinthus was a heretic. I mean, he was an error. He didn't know the truth, but the preacher was wrong.
Yeah.
And Sorinthus was the a Gnostic. And he said, Sorinthus said, hey, listen here. What happened was, Jesus was born just like anybody else was born. Joseph and Mary hooked up. They hooked up, and just like everybody else born, and when Jesus was born, and then he was a good man, great teacher, good moral person. Then he got baptized by John, and after he was baptized by John, because he was really a good person, then the Christ, the Son of God, kind of came into him for a while he was around teaching and doing miracles. And then just before he died, that thing left, the Son of God went on back up to heaven. So when he died, he was a regular person dying. So Corinthians said, when he said, I can see the water part. I believe he came by water. But I don't see him coming by blood. But notice what John said. John said he came by water and blood. And then he said, now, Corinthians was his arch enemy because he was teaching error. They said one day John was in the baptism, you know, when he went, like, take baptism thing, you know, at places. And he heard, and John was in the baptism, and he heard Corinthians coming, and he got up and left. Because he said, I don't want to be here with Corinthians here because God might have destroyed his whole place.
Yeah.
Most of the time he writes, when he wrote the Gospel of John and a lot of stuff he wrote, it was to address Corinthians' error. Because a lot of people were believing in him. That's why John began by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Amen. Because he wanted to know, hey, this was the Son of God that came to be flesh. He wasn't an ordinary man. So that's why he said, Corinthians, I know you're going to read the letter. He came by water and blood, not by water only. Y'all see that or not? But by blood. But I know it's going to get back to you. And I want you to know, it wasn't just a baptism. Amen. But hey, he was still God when he died.
Yes,
that's why his blood was so valuable.
Yes,
his blood was so valuable that billions of people can get saved by the same blood. So you got the testimony. And then you know, the thing I like about it, that's outward. But then a testimony of the Holy Spirit is an inside testimony.
Amen.
I think what has been most valuable to me is during difficult times of life. When you're really going through.
Yes.
I found out times in my life when I was really going through, really down about something. As I sat alone, thinking about this thing, and then all of a sudden something happened.
Yeah.
I'm in the midst of this prayer, kind of down, and all of a sudden, something happened inside.
Yeah.
That inner week.
Yeah.
Let's tell you who you are.
Okay.
And when you ain't got no other reason
Jesus.
To be happy, when you ain't got no other reason to have joy. When you ain't got no other reason to smile, it's something that said everything gonna be all right because you're a child of God and He loves you. When you don't have nothing left, the Holy Spirit said it. But not only the Holy Spirit said it. You know when the Holy Spirit says it again? When we're in a service like this. When you're in a service like that's when it says a lot. When you're in a service, I think that's why.
black church is so good. Because when you're in a service like this, and you got the Holy Spirit in you, and you hear God's truth, it's the Holy Spirit that knows the truth about God. So when the Holy Spirit hears truth, the Holy Spirit gets you excited. You know, amen. So you say, hey, amen. Come on, preacher. Sometimes you just shake your head and say, thank you. I can't understand why God is so good. Amen. Because that's the Spirit in you. Now, they have the same thing in Anglo Church. But you know, they have, because of their culture, they got to hold it in. We don't have to hold it in. I have to tell y'all, don't hold it in. When the Holy Ghost gets excited, you can go and let your excitement out. Sometimes you get a lot of folks that are running around the church. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the Spirit. Sometimes you have to stand up and wave your head. Because of the Spirit is saying what that choir is saying, or what that preacher is preaching, or what that teacher is teaching. It's true. It's true. And you know it's true inside of you. Sometimes some of the more reserved people like me, some of the more reserved people, they say, well, it don't take off. It don't take off. You know, kind of keep it together. They don't take all that. But what you don't realize, is that person that's letting go, they've been through something. Hallelujah. When you start talking about he's real, when you talking about God is real, and they done been through something, and God just snatched them out, brought it out. And then sometimes you get in something, you don't even want to come out. God has mercy to come in and snatch you out. Right? And you get mad at God because you're not. I wish I had a witness. You get mad at God because he snatched you out where you wanted to be. I didn't have no business to be there. Same. And you remember, and somebody say something about that, and you sit in your seat. Amen. I don't mean no harm. I didn't mean to shout out. I didn't mean that. But you don't realize what the Lord has done for me. Your body's a little healed, but they start talking about him, he's a healer. And they want you to be quiet. And you remember when you was in the operating room and you didn't know you were going to come back out? You can't be quiet. You remember all the bad reports? You can't be quiet. Because the Holy Spirit, the witness is inside of you. That's the witness inside. So when you got all three of them witnesses on the witness stand, oh, yeah, God. I know it real. Y'all can say what y'all want to say.
Right.
Y'all can call me ignorant,
backwoods,
anarchy. But I want to tell you I'm ignorant, backwoods, anarchy. But I'm on my way to hell. And if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is that he testified concerning. If you gonna live, if you can trust man, you ought to be able to trust God. We trust man every day. When you fly in the airplane, you trust the man. You trust in the one that worked on the airplane, and you trust in the one that flying the airplane. And then you trust in the one in the tower giving direction to the airplane. Every time you come to an intersection,
they won't run red light or the stop sign. Every time you drive down the highway, you trust in man that somebody won't come over in your lane. Amen. When you go to the doctor, oh, you trust in man. When you take a prescription, you trust in man that they got it right. We trust men every day. When you came in this morning and sat down in the chair you sitting in, you trust in the man that put together that chair. We trust men all the time. We trust men. So if you can trust men and you know man is really shaky and man don't love you like he wants, like you always love, why tell you can't trust a God that loves you and his testimony? And they say, if you don't trust God's testimony, verse 10, one who believes in the Son of God has testimony. Testimony himself, we can kind of talk about that. You got the Holy Spirit in you testifying. The one who does not believe God has made him a lie. You don't make God a lie. How you going to say, man, you telling me the truth and God, you telling me a lie? Because he is not. Why are you a lie? Because you don't believe what God has told you. God said, this is my beloved Son of whom I'm well pleased. God made the whole world dark, shook the earth, opened the curtains at the temple, and had the dead get up out of the grave to walk. You don't believe none of that. But you believe man who's shaky and flaky. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And that life is where? In his Son. Hallelujah. All right, look at 6. Look at verse 6. And this is the faith of an unbeliever, the faith that passes the test. Look at verse 12. I want to get to this. But you know, sometimes I'm going to tell you. Every time I have to do a funeral for one of our members, one thing I have to think about, that's why I preach the same thing over and over. I think the same thing. Every time I make that trip, I ask myself, did I do enough? Did I explain it well enough? Did he understood it when I make it? Heaven and hell is big. That's why I talk about that stuff so much. Explain it well enough, and I'll make it clear enough. In verse 12, John gives us a test. The faith will overcome past this test. Let's see the test that he gives us in verse 12. He who has the Son has the life. So who has life? We're talking eternal life. Who has life? If you have a test, then you have to say, who has life? And you say, he has the Son. You have a bad day. What's frustrating sometimes, I know you're, some of y'all that are very that don't mean, I know you don't mean it, but you just kind of frustrate them. When I hear you say something like, we're talking about eternal life and going to heaven. He said, I hope I make it. I'm trying to make it. I need to have time. I'm certain. But the test says, he that had the Son had. Hey, you know who he is, and put your faith in. Now,
stuff is ignorant. All that stuff is old-fashioned, archaic, backwoods. Well, you need to make your way to the backwoods to find it. You mean, oh, leave it to the backwoods, but I got to have it. In the backwoods is a way to help. We need to have a whole rail for going to the backwoods. He that has not the Son does not have life. If you got the Son, you got life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Is that really a hard test? That's not a hard test. Okay, go down to verse 13. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So that you may that you have he don't want you guessing. He don't want you seeing. I reckon like Jay Clarence said, I reckon, Grant, I'm going to heaven. You know, I want you reckoning, trying to figure it out. Maybe I want, because the Bible's right. If verse 13 is in the Bible, ain't it? Yeah. And verse 13 says you can know. Wait a minute. Because he loves me so much. God loves me so much. He don't want me guessing. He don't want me worried that time I'm going to bed. I pray the Lord my soul to stay. If I just drive before I work, I pray the Lord my soul to stay. I already know I've got it right with Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't want you nervous when you had to have surgery. Oh, you know your time is running. You know your time is short. I want you to say, all right, I'm looking forward to it because I know. I know the moment I close my eyes on this side.
Yeah.
I'll be in the presence of God on the other side.
Yeah.
I want you to know that.
Yeah.
And you say, if I want you to know that, don't you know how much God that loves you way more than I do want you to know that?
Yeah.
I want, hey, the reason why I'm preaching, because I want, hey, Cheryl's here, Gabriella's here, and my mom, who else? Oh, I love all of you. But you know, I don't want them to have no doubt. I want them to know.
Yeah.
When you know, that's why the Christians of old, they weren't afraid to face death. I said, hey, if I got to go out and go to line,
amen.
I'm probably not going to make it.
Amen.
But I know it.
Yeah.
All the disciples were crucified. Some of them hung upside down. Some of them had their head chopped off because they wouldn't stop preaching. But why did they go along with it? Because they knew. When you know, I remember Shorty said it was over there in the communist country. And in the communist country, you know, they have like the church house where they come to it privately, where people come worship God because it's against the law. So one day, they're worshiping God against the law, and all of a sudden, these two soldiers came in. They said, all right, I want to know who here believes, everybody here that believes Jesus, that believes Jesus, I'm going to kill them now. A little house church, you say, because they knew.
Right. Amen.
I believe it. Now we believe we're ready to die.
Amen.
Then the soldier put their guns down and said, this is the kind of church I need to be part of. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Yeah. I want to be with folk that know.
Yeah. 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 Sure, you're right.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank
you. When you know, you know, it's all right.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, he gave me life. If he gave me, it's all right. Hey, man, I know the minute I close my eyes on this side. You don't have to practice too much about it. Because even I'm in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's going to be all right.
Because
that's what my whole life was about. I'm trying to get people to the presence.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Martin Luther. The reformer. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther the reformer. One day he was out on the beach. He had an experience. A lightning bolt struck right by him, knocked him off his feet. Martin Calendar.
Wow, that bullet hit me.
So I'm trying to get you set fasting. Join a monastery. You know what like the monks when they was all that? Pray, fasting. You punish yourself a lot for what you done wrong. Punishing yourself. And one day, I think it was like Sir the letter upon his pilot. Come up. And Jesus' name and say, what should I do with Jesus' name? I said, crucify him. Y'all remember?
Right.
So it's not a serve. So what they did, they had moved on serve. But they told Juan Luther, what you need to do to really, if you really want to know you made it, you need to clamp up to serve. Everybody clamp up to serve. They got to shift from Juan Luther. He went step by. He crawled up to the step. One by one. Kissed every step. Crawled the next step. Went all them steps. Got to the top. Looked back at all them steps. I don't even know if one of the people telling me were true or not. Problem. Still didn't know if he was saved. Did everything he could. Just couldn't figure it out. And it tormented him. It tormented him in his soul. Not to know. One day he's reading wrong. I think Romans 10:13, where it says the judge shall live by faith.
Yes.
He said, if we have life, it's not by doing all this stuff I've been doing, trying to earn God's love, trying to earn God, but it comes through having faith in Jesus Christ. Having faith enough to say, I want you in my life. I want the Son. Because he that had the Son had life. Let me give you one. So basically what he figured out, that's what we all should figure out. The eternal life is a gift for the guilty, not a reward for the righteous. Y'all get that? Eternal life is a gift. You can earn it. But those that have it's a gift for the guilty, not a reward. Well, we got to say, I'm guilty. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. God, I'm guilty. And the wages of sin is death. Lord, I deserve death.
But.
Woo! I wish I had a witness. And that's a big but.
Why are we waiting?
He paid for the gift 2,000 years ago. And then one Sunday morning, I heard somebody talking about that gift.
Yes.
I said, well, I need the gift.
Amen.
And I got up out of my seat. And we got the gift.
Amen.
And that morning I got that gift, I had eternal life. Well, eternal life will start when you die. It starts right there.
Yeah.
He said, he that had the Son had me right now. Present tense. Had life.
Yes.
It's a quality of life.
Yes.
That I give because he gives me this.
Yes.
Gave me the gift. And then he said, you know, I went there and he said, I'm gonna give you a gift. But you know, you just ain't gonna be taking anybody's gift. Because if somebody in the enemy don't get no gift for them. Mm-mm. Somebody will hear me. They say, I got a gift, Brother Robert. I done bought you a chocolate pie. She's gonna give us a song.